Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Wednesday's top news, and there may be somewhat of a fight on Capitol Hill over the release of the final $350 billion in the Troubled Asset Relief Program, also known as the Wall Street Bailout, which has been requested by the outgoing Bush administration on behalf of the incoming Obama administration. But Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says they want some answers on Capitol Hill before releasing that kind of money.
We'd like to hear more from the new president and his team about just exactly how the $350 billion would be used.
No concrete answers from the Obama administration yet on that question. That could possibly be because right now there's a little bit of damage control going on over Barack Obama's choice to become the next Secretary of the Treasury. Timothy Geithner is head of the New York Fed and was considered to be a consensus choice for the next Treasury Secretary, lauded by folks on both sides of the aisle. But a recent Wall Street Journal report shows that Geithner failed to pay taxes while self-employed through the International Monetary Fund, and that for a brief time, a housekeeper in his care failed to renew immigration papers. But Barack Obama on Wednesday making it clear he's standing behind his choice at Treasury.
My expectation is that Tim Geithner will be confirmed. And my expectation is that he is going to do an outstanding job on behalf of the American people.
Obama says that Geithner clearly made mistakes, but they're common mistakes that, most importantly, have been corrected.
If my criteria, whether it was for cabinet secretary or vice presidents or presidents or reporters, was that you've never made a mistake in your life, none of us would be employed.
Obama says that when looking across the political spectrum, Republicans, Democrats, labor union leaders, and business people like Tim Geithner for this job.
Somebody who is uniquely qualified to deal with, as what Lindsay described properly, as the biggest crisis that we've had since the Great Depression.
But Jonathan Weissman of the Wall Street Journal, who broke the story, says that IMF and World Bank employees, as well as congressional Republicans, are hearing very different stories about exactly what happened with Geithner's failure to pay those taxes when he was supposed to. Weissman says IMF and World Bank workers are supposed to be at a higher standard.
Expectations for the Treasury Secretary, especially in the areas of taxes, are going to be above and beyond what ordinary citizens can expect.
Another headache for Barack Obama seems to be on its way towards a conclusion. The Illinois House once again today impeaching Governor Rod Blagojevich. Lawmakers took another impeachment vote shortly after the swearing-in of new members in Springfield this afternoon. This time the final vote, 117-1, with the only no vote coming from the newly seated Deborah Mell, who happens to be the governor's sister-in-law. Meanwhile, the state Senate president, John Cullerton, says the Senate's impeachment process will begin today, even though it was Blagojevich himself who swore in the new state senators. Turning to the world stage now, a message has surfaced this morning purportedly featuring al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden on Muslims to launch a jihad for the sake of Gaza. The message appeared on an Islamist website commonly used to pass along al-Qaeda messages and propaganda. Analysts say while it's not possible to absolutely confirm the voice is that of bin Laden, it does appear to be. In the recording, bin Laden claims, quote, "The great and swift decline in America's influence is one of the most important motivations for Israelis to wage such a barbaric attack on Gaza," unquote. He calls it a bid to make use of the final days of the Bush presidency. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is in the Middle East trying to bring together the parties for a ceasefire agreement, telling reporters he has three priorities in any agreement.
To bring a ceasefire immediately and do whatever I can do in my power to bring humanitarian assistance, and also encourage the negotiations now under discussions.
As for the American perspective, White House Press Secretary Dana Perino says the goal is a lasting ceasefire.
We have been pressing Israel about civilian casualties and protecting innocent people. One of the problems is that the enemy, Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, hides amongst innocent people and uses them for human shields.
Possible threat of a second front emerging again on Wednesday with rockets being launched from Lebanon into Israel with no one taking responsibility for that. Israel sending a few shells back into Lebanon in response. Meanwhile, the Israelis forbidding an Iranian ship supposedly carrying humanitarian aid for Palestinians to dock in Gaza. Israel believes that Iran is sending weapons through those shipments. In other news briefs today, the U.S. House passing a sweeping expansion of the state children's health insurance program. It's expected to be one of the first bills signed by new President Barack Obama when he comes into office next week. The plan will cost about $30 billion over 4.5 years and is designed to expand the number of kids eligible to be covered by government health care when their families can't afford insurance but make too much money to qualify for Medicaid. On Wall Street, a rough day. The Dow off 248 to close at 8,200, the lowest finish for the Dow since the beginning of December. The S&P off 29 and the NASDAQ down 57. Oil fell by 50 cents a barrel. Elsewhere in the business world, Apple CEO Steve Jobs stepping aside from day-to-day operations due to his ongoing health concerns. And a sad note from Hollywood, longtime acting legend Ricardo Montalban dead at the age of 88. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, we'll talk with Roll Call's Jessica Brady about the Timothy Geithner controversy. We'll also speak with Frank Gaffney about the fate of Guantanamo Bay and the latest developments in the Middle East. But when we come back on Dateline Washington, the Republican alternative for an economic stimulus plan with Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon. This is Dateline Washington.